You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
Just as a quick recap, I've got a number of slides that are going to come up on the screen that hopefully give some visual representation of what I'm saying. I like visuals. It helps me to remember things. So I have put quite a few slides together this morning, so I know Sue's going to be busy clicking at the back. But where are we? We're on week two, and I'm actually calling this, What is Mission, is what I actually originally called today. But then this word repurpose came up. So it's week two, repurpose, what is mission? And actually, recap on what the next 3 months is going to look like is on the screen. So the next 3 months, and if you're not sure what the next 3 months looks like, again, I just want to communicate really well to everybody. So remember, if you haven't got one of these mission overview sheets, go and get that. It tells you just the headlines, basically, but there is a diary on the back. So if you haven't got one of these yet, pick it up. That's where we're going to be heading. I don't want anybody to say, well, I've no idea. What did he say is going on? Please take one of those things home. And what is this mission all about? What is it that we actually aim to do? Well, the next 3 weeks are going to go through. I'm going to have an explanation today. What is mission? We're then going to move on to equipping for the mission, and then some expectation, mission fruit. What's that about? And nicely, that's the end of the fast. It's also harvest service, so we thought we'd have a church lunch as well. So everything's combining really nicely into that service on the 30th. But our aim, what are we going to go and do as part of mission? And part of this is hanging off a booklet. It's not all about the booklet, but actually what we want to do is just share as church, just communicate well. If we can't communicate well inside and we're not communicating outside, we don't know what's going on and people don't know what we're doing either. So we want to kind of pull this together and communicate well. And if you remember last time, there's three things that we want to do with this. We want to share what we do as a church, which is called social action. If you remember back to a previous message, and I mentioned it last week, one of these legs of the stool will be social action. The next is to take the good news to the streets, which again is through simple gospel. And to add another S into the mix, I was quite pleased that I came up with the sovereign power. We want the power of God to turn up. It's all well and good that we go and tell people what we're doing. Come and we want to feed you, we want to love you, we want to look after you, but we want to tell you the good news. Why do we do this? You know, it's simple gospel. Let's remember that. If you remember, I said the 30-second gospel, a number of people had a go at that. What would you say? How do you communicate the gospel in a simple, easy way that people can understand? And ultimately, we cannot raise people from the dead, but God can. And that's where his power comes. Holy Spirit transforms lives. So you've got your three-month plan. You know roughly where we're going. There is this thing called a booklet that's going to appear at some point. Practicalities of that, as I mentioned last week, if you're thinking, where have all the children gone? We haven't banned them from church. We've pushed them outside, and we're hoping that they're going to do some more things out there, and that will grow as church grows in here as well. So this week, where are we at this week? This week is an explanation about what is mission and our repurpose. And I'm going to break that down into three areas this morning. I was quite pleased when I was writing this. I think it's like almost like a real sermon where I've got 3 points as well. So I'm going to break it down into 3 sections so you know where we're going. We're going to look at purpose, we're going to look at authority, and then repurpose. Interestingly, if you type repurpose into a Word document, it has a squiggly red line underneath it to say it's not a real word. But I looked it up and apparently it is a real word. So my computer doesn't know about repurposing. And we're going to find out about that this morning. So as an introduction, this is all about preparing us to be a church on mission. I kind of, when I write it, I put it in quotes. We're church on mission. And that means that it's for each and every single one of us in the congregation to be involved in the mission in some way. And actually, to repeat a comment last week, we as church, not us as oversight or deacons or other leaders in ministry areas, it's us as church say to God, what does that actually look like? What is God saying to us? And I know I might have scared a few people off last week when I say, if God says something to you, it might be you that has to do it. And therefore you go, I'm not going to share anything with Darren because he's going to make me do it. So if God is saying something, share it, because it might be that another person's come and said, I've got this really cool thing that I think God is saying we should do, but it's bigger than me. And I can say, that's great, because there's three other people who said exactly the same thing. That must be from God. I know somebody is in that position this morning, and what God has said to them, he's already said to me. So I'm excited about that, but I want them to come and talk to me as well, because then we can go, oh, you see, God's talking to both of us. What is mission? If I ask you the question, what is mission? What would be a good question back to me that we always say here at Limbrick Wood? What does the Bible say? Well, look in Matthew 28. You've got your Bibles there. It's quite a clear message. If I said Matthew 28, a few of you are going, I know exactly where he's going to go if he's in verse 19 and 20, or if you're reading it on the screen. Matthew 28, 19 to 20. In the NIV UK version, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And there's one word that really jumped out in that sentence at me as I read it through. And that's the word obey, or obedience. Obedience. We're actually called to do something. We need to be obedient to that. But part of that message was we've also to teach obedience as well. Obey everything I've commanded you, says Jesus. Now, I don't know what it says in your Bible. Some of you know that passage. It's called the Great Commission. It's something that's added as a title in your Bibles. And as we've read, God is calling us to go. I've kind of got this trendy hashtag go exclamation mark thing. Go with the good news to proclaim the gospel, simple gospel, to the world, and that there's only one way to be right with God or reconciled to God. And that, as we know, is only through Jesus. Jesus is the only one. And we're going to unpick that again a bit more this morning, because we say it, but how do we know Jesus really is the only one? And we're going to look at that a little bit. Interesting, that word commission, you can see it up on the screen there. I like to Google these words. My memory for words has been shot when I bumped my head last year, so I'm kind of like relearning lots of stuff. And that word commission, I went, that's really interesting. Let's look at what commission means. And as you can imagine, there's lots of different definitions. But I really like this one. Commission, it's to bring. Bring is the thing, something newly produced into a working action. And it's called the Great Commission. Something Jesus has established, something newly produced into a working action. And I find that really quite exciting. To put it another way, it's about realizing something's purpose. Something is made for a purpose, it's commissioned, and it goes about it. And this is our first thing we're going to look at this morning. The first of the three things is going to be purpose. Now, I am going to fly through this quite quickly today. And maybe just for the start of 2019, I'm already saying to God, what would make a really good series at the start of 2019? And what I'm going to kind of headline today, I think, is going to make a message maybe for the first part of 2019. So I'm quite excited that God is already calling us to something. And maybe I'll call that repurpose. So you can remind me if I forget, you were going to do something called repurpose at the beginning of 2019. And we'll unpack what we're going to listen to here today quite a lot more. But Ray, you read to us from Genesis 3. And again, if you would look in your Bibles, you'll probably find there's a chapter heading in there that's called The Fall. And Ray read to us about Adam and Eve. And the first humans here of all creation were tricked and they were robbed of their purpose. I want you to catch this morning. Adam and Eve were robbed of their purpose. If you flip back a few pages or a page and a bit in your Bible, back to Genesis 1 and verse 26 to 28. It says this, Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Jesus quotes that later on, doesn't he? God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every other living creature that moves on the ground. So Adam and Eve had a purpose. They were to look after creation, to increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it or bring it under control. And this was their commission. And if we were to go back again and look at that word commission, it was to bring something that was newly produced into a working action. I think that's quite a nice little, I love that definition. You know, when you kind of go, oh, I quite like that. It's something new. And we've got to bring it into a working action. So Adam and Eve, let's just be honest here. They weren't tricked into sinning by lying, stealing, or anything else. It was the serpent in the garden that did something slightly different. And when you go back and read this again, you might not have read it with these glasses on. They were deceived and they were robbed of their purpose. And it's something we're going to pick up another time, so I want to go into that in a bit more detail. But what was at stake was their very identity. They were created in the image of God. God gave them a purpose, and they were robbed of that purpose, their very identity. And I think this next bit is really important. I put a slide up on it. Let's look at the order of what happened. You see, Eve saw the fruit was good and ate. Did the serpent tell Eve to eat the fruit? Didn't, did he? He didn't say, go and do that. So Eve was deceived. She saw the fruit was good to eat and she ate it. The serpent never told Eve to do it. Adam sinned and both their eyes were opened by seeing what Eve had done and he went along with it. God turns up. He challenges both of them. What's happened here then? How do you know you're naked? And then this is really important. There's blame, and there's silence. Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent. And the serpent is silent and does not defend himself or itself. There's a chain of blame here, and you can see it on the screen. There's a chain of blame, and it finishes with the serpent, who is cursed. But remember this point, because I'm going to pick it up in a minute, okay? Now, Adam and Eve were therefore, as we read, removed from the garden. Removed from the garden, they're now unable to fulfill their purpose. And let me ask you a question, which is the thread of today, and possibly something you've asked yourself. What is your purpose? Have you ever done that? Lord, what am I here for? What is the point, maybe, you have said? And the thing is, I want this to be positive this morning. I want you to leave here this morning with a really positive outcome, an affirming answer that you can say, I know what I've got to work out. Or you might say, I know exactly what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. And I think this is going to be really exciting as we finish up today. That's why I'm so excited about it. I've literally got that feeling in my tummy like Christmas. Do you have that feeling ever, Kirsty? Like it might be Christmas soon, and you get that, oh, I'm so excited what God's going to say to us this morning. Now, the enemy of God has one very clear objective, and that is to stop you and I from finding our purpose, and above all, stop us fulfilling our purpose. And we can't go into everything today, but I'm going to kind of keep headlines coming as we go through this morning. But one of the weapons that the enemy uses is distraction. Distraction. And if you've actually spoken with me over the last few weeks, I probably at some point said something along the lines of, and I put it up on the screen. Well, that's very good, but is that your purpose? There's lots of good things in our lives, lots of good things we can do, but is it yours and my purpose? And one of the things that the enemy tries to do or uses his tools is to distract us. And he doesn't necessarily distract us with bad stuff. We assume it's bad stuff, but sometimes he can distract us with really good things. When Eve was tempted in the garden, back to Genesis 3:5, what did he say to her? You will certainly not die, or not certainly die. Your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Is any of that, that's not bad, is it? I think that's quite good. You'll certainly not die. Happy with that one? I'll have that. Your eyes will be opened. Thank you, because I really have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. I long to be like God. I mean, is any of that, does that sound bad to you? But it was twisted, wasn't it? And that's what the enemy does. He comes in and he twists. Remember Lucifer, the enemy in the Bible. He is the father of lies. Let's declare that. I'm not saying he doesn't lie, but he takes truth and he twists it. He's wicked. That's where we got that word wick. If you remember that candle analogy, the wick in the middle, it's twisted. It's something that's twisted. That's where we get wicked from. Twisted truth. And what does he say? He says we can be like God, but to be like something, you can see the word on the screen, is to be a counterfeit. And I'm going to just think about that for a minute. Just hang a few things off this. If you and I are made to be something else and we're not living out what we're meant to be, then we are potentially the product of a counterfeiter. And let's pause again. What does a counterfeiter do? There's a fiver on the screen. Does the counterfeiter destroy money? No. What does a counterfeiter do? They copy money. It's like the original, but actually it's counterfeit. It can't fulfill the purpose of the original thing. And that brings us back to this good versus purpose idea. It may be that you and I are involved in lots of things that are good in our lives, but actually we're left feeling dissatisfied and that sense that there is more to life. If this has been measured by success, you might take an example of a bank manager. Bank manager, he's got a good house, he's wealthy, he's got a good education, his mortgage is all sorted out, his pension's all lined up, grandkids are on the way or they've already got grandkids, and everyone looks and says, this person is living the dream, you are completely successful. But this bank manager says, oh, I feel like a square peg in a round hole. I never wanted to be a bank manager. In actual fact, I dreamt of becoming a missionary when I was young. Or whatever their dream might have been. This is what God made them to be. And all their lives, they felt they should be doing something else. And where the enemy comes in and offers us things, they can be good things. Wealth. Anything wrong with wealth? Nothing wrong with wealth. What about security? There's nothing wrong with security. Family. There's nothing wrong with that either. They might be a bit testing at times, but there's nothing wrong with desiring after those things. But the enemy can come along and tempt us with good things. And actually, the bank manager in that example feels like a counterfeit. The enemy has robbed him or her of their purpose. And what happens is that authority comes in and takes control of our lives. And we feel like a counterfeit. There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff, but if we pursued it and it was never what we were meant to pursue, we are counterfeit. And the enemy has authority over our lives because we're seeking the things he's given us and not the things that we're purposed for. So that brings us on to our second point, authority. Remember earlier I said, what did Adam and Eve do when God asked them what they'd done? Let's have a look. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent, and the serpent was silent, didn't defend himself. Why? And I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but this is really important. There's a chain of blame, and blame is another tool that the enemy uses. Let me ask you this. Just think for a moment. I'm going to have a moment to think about this. How did the enemy gain dominion over the earth? Scripture tells us this is his. How did he gain dominion over the earth? What does the Bible say? Let's look back in Genesis 1, 26 and 28 again. Have a quick look in there. There's a purpose, isn't there? Man's purpose was within God's creation, to subdue it and have dominion over it. So this was Adam and Eve's purpose. Who had responsibility for looking after the earth? Adam and Eve, mankind. Yeah. So what did Adam do when God asked what you just done? What did he do? Adam blamed Eve. Who's got the responsibility now then? Eve. And what did Eve do? She blamed the serpent. So who has responsibility now then? He was silent, didn't blame anybody. And God says, okay, well, if you're responsible for all of this, this is your mess, it's yours. responsibility and dominion was passed on to the serpent. And again, we're going to pick up this a little bit later. This is really interesting stuff because it starts to point to why is Jesus so important. Blame is a very powerful tool. What you blame, you empower. So silent Satan or Lucifer inherits the world because Adam and Eve would not face up to their part in the issue and pass responsibility on to somebody else. What you blame, you empower. What you blame, you empower. Just think about that for a moment. What do you blame for the situations in your life that haven't worked out so well? I'll give you a couple of examples. If you blame poverty, I'm poor, well, you've actually just empowered money and money will now rule you. Blame the color of your skin and you will empower racism. Blame an abuser and you empower the abuser. But that's not where the story ends, is it? There's good news in all of this. And God chooses the people in supposedly those uninvited situations in their lives to be something more. Joseph. Not liked by his brothers, sold into slavery. Worse than that, he was made a prisoner. What did he become? Second in command over all of Egypt. Samuel was given up by his mother at an early age. He was adopted. He became high priest. Deborah, a female in a male-dominated culture back then, became a judge and brought 40 years of prosperity to Israel. She was top draw. She did good. Moses had a death threat over him at birth. He was abandoned by his mother. He was adopted, but he became a murderer and then an outlaw. But what did he become? One of the greatest leaders and liberators of all Israel. David, it was a very long list, so I picked a few. Rejected by his brothers, was a murdering adulterer. But what did he become? A great writer, a warrior, eventually king. Paul, let's bring it forwards a bit, persecuted and murdered Christians. But what did he do? He wrote a lot of the New Testament, became one of the great Christian leaders. I've got to put Jesus in the mix, haven't I? Contentious birth from a town where nothing good could come, rejected by the religious leaders and his people, became the savior of the world. Now insert your name. Pick your name. I'll bear myself before you this morning. Darren, born on a council estate, no hope for this man. Rejected because of the colour of his skin. I was called all sorts of names as a child. Abused by a man that should have been looking after me. Educated, but I ended up homeless. I'm currently the pastor at Limbrickwood Baptist Church. You know, don't let stuff define you. Don't give stuff authority over you. We're going to pick this up in the later messages, but Joseph never complained, never prayed, Lord, take me out of this situation. No, Lord, help me do my best here. What would you say about yourself? What would you say is your purpose? Is there anything that we need to change within our lives? Which brings me to my final point this morning. Repurpose. We looked at Philippians when we did the Discipleship Explored course. If you want to flick to Philippians, there's some lovely verses there. Philippians 2. And 12 through 13. Can't find it. It's giants eat peas and carrots. Galatians, Ephesians. Yeah, that's the way I remember it. Philippians 2. You might have other ones. I think it's one about elephants, but I can't remember that one. Philippians 2, 12 through 13. It says this, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed obedience, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." We call to a life of righteousness and holiness. And this is not about living by the law, and or not just about living by law and obedient to the commandments. Those are good things. But we're also here to fulfill a purpose. And it's quite funny. I met with Ray during the week, and we were chatting, and he shouted James 4:17 at me. And I said, do you know what, Ray? You might hear that on Sunday morning. So if you want to look at James 4:17... This is a really good challenge to us this morning. If you say, okay, God, sharpen me up a little bit. James 4:17. I don't know if you can see that on the screen. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. If you know what you should be doing, what you ought to be doing, and you don't do it, it is a sin for you. It's actually a good explanation of sin is falling short. You've probably heard me or others speak about that context of an archery term. Yeah, trying to aim for the bullseye, but actually missing the target, falling short. Well, this is almost worse than that. It's like you've been so distracted on your purpose. It's not that you've just fallen short. You're right over here. You're not even looking at the target because this is really good. It's good stuff. But actually, I'm not even looking at the target. That sin term, falling short, missing what you're supposed to be doing. If you know what you should be doing and you're not doing it, then it is a sin for you. I don't know if you've noticed some of the images I've put up on the screen today. They've had light bulbs in them. And actually, this morning, it's not about you and I being a good light bulb. We might be a light bulb. But actually, this thing, what's in the background? It's a lighthouse. And what does a lighthouse need? A light bulb, yeah? So actually, you might be looking at this thinking, well, I could be a really good light bulb. I could be the best light bulb. But what is your purpose? You might just be that you are the lighthouse. So don't get too caught up in being the best light bulb. That might be a good thing, but actually you need purpose this morning. The thing with purpose is, and I'm reading a book at the moment, so I can recommend to you another time. We said within there that probably you and I actually are the only ones that know what our purpose is. And actually, if you probably vocalize that to somebody else, they kind of go, well, you're bananas. That's kind of crazy. You know, take the bank manager again. They may have known exactly what they wanted to do, but what did the parents say? Well, that's nice, dear. There's no future in being a missionary. Become a bank manager like your cousin. That cousin might have meant to be a bank manager, which is great, but it wasn't for them. And they knew what they really wanted to be and what they wanted to do, but they got distracted by something good. Remember I said a moment ago, one of the enemy's tools was distraction, and Jesus warned us this. Maybe a verse that you've come across before, Matthew 10, 35 to 36. I haven't put it on the screen because it's a bit of a longer one. Matthew 10, 35 to 36 says, "For I've come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." I don't know if you've ever read that before and kind of go, what is actually that talking about? This is not about Jesus saying, "I've come in to upset your families." But what you will probably find is that thing that you've been made for, that God has purposed you for, probably will cause some upset from those closest to you. And why? Because they love you and want the best for you. But the subtle distraction comes when they try and set you on a different purpose to the one that you feel that you are called to do. And this is hard. Families get upset. And Jesus recognized this and warns us that the gospel is like a sword. If you read just the verse before, it's like a sword and it doesn't bring peace. I heard a testimony from a young lady who was called a dad up and said, you know, dad, I've become a Christian. And he was furious and didn't want to speak to her. And she said, but I haven't become a drug addict. I'm not a drunk. I've become a Christian. And actually, it was the Christian part that caused the division. And actually, that thing that maybe God's called you to do, this is where the enemy comes in. It might be good stuff, but you've been distracted. So as we wrap this up this morning, how can we find our purpose? Otherwise, I'm saying, hey, guys, go find your purpose. How can we find our purpose? I think there's something that we need to do, and it's really important. This sometimes we need to take responsibility back first. Rather than cast off blame and blame this and blame that and blame the other, we need to confess the things that we need to be accountable to God with, and then we can empower ourselves rather than that thing, whatever that might be, that's entrapping or ruling over you. Then you might find your purpose. If you don't know what it is, that purpose, well, actually, that's something you can seek God with. It might be that actually casting that thing off will help you fulfill your purpose. Easy, huh? No, it's really not, is it? It's really not easy. And I believe Scripture shows that when the enemy knows that we know our purpose, he's there to test us straight away. Jesus knew his purpose. Was he left alone? No, tempted, wasn't he? Offered Jesus the whole world. How did Satan offer Jesus the whole world? Well, was it his to give? Well, he's got responsibility for it, hasn't he? And at the end of his life, before Jesus was crucified, Jesus was tried by the people. And what did he say? If you look in Acts 32, it says, Acts 32, this is the passage of Scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. There he was quoting from Isaiah. And like the serpent at the beginning, who through his silence inherited the world, he said, okay, blame me. It's all my responsibility. It's all mine. What was Jesus? Jesus was silent too. His perfection took on the responsibility for all the sin and all the shame of this world. And did he pass blame? Oh, this Jesus. No, he was silent. And it's through that silence, his death and his resurrection, Jesus' eternal purpose was fulfilled. And this is the good news that we can take to other folk, to set folk free. This is the gospel. This is the good news that we want to take out on mission. Now, I'm going to unpack this a little bit more as we go into this, but when Jesus took authority back, we read in Revelation, I've got lots of questions to ask you. You know, when was Satan kicked out of heaven? That's a good question to go away and mull over if you want to really search the Scriptures. But when we get to Revelation, it's by the blood of the Lamb that the authority is taken back. And we'll unpick that a little bit more later. It's really exciting stuff because Jesus is so important because he alone has the authority. He has taken it back from the enemy. This is why Jesus is so important. So in closing this morning, we're going to break bread together in a moment. Just remember, we are going to focus on being church on mission. That's what we're going to be for the next few months. But today it comes back down to us, to you and me. And I think we've got a daily personal mission. That's to find our way. What is it that God's called us to be? What is our purpose? And actually, we've got to stick to it. Resist the naysayers. They might even be within your own family until they get it and they go, oh, yeah, yeah, no, I always saw that. But they were like maybe the ones that were saying, no, this is not you. We need to pass through the testing. Testing comes and it will come. It came for Jesus. So why is it not going to come for you and I? But after the testing, we can live a life of real purpose. I think it's then from that place, working out where we are individually, that we can then be combined church on mission. And again, if you missed the message last week, go back and pick some of this up. I invite you to listen to it. It is online. If you ever want a CD or anything, let me know. Our mission through October and November is to take this good news out to the community. to help those individuals out there find their purpose. I believe there is a purpose for individuals, but also for this community to find its purpose. But we've got to demonstrate that to this community, haven't we? What does that look like in my life? Where has God repurposed my life? Where has that made a huge difference? And I suppose the question this morning, and like I say, we've got lots to unpick on this or other messages, but where are we going to let God have the authority again? Where are we going to confess and take those things back? Where you've had blame before, you need to take it back and say, no, that no longer has authority over me. I'm going to take that to God. I'm going to say, Lord, I need to sort this out with you. And then he will repurpose our lives. I hope that's encouraging for you this morning. There's a lot in there. And there's a lot to unpack, as I said. So there's lots of headlines. But do you want that?
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.